may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. You may be seated. Now do you see where he got that hymn? In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Hebrews 6 says we have an anchor for our soul. And His oath and His covenant support me. Support me. All right, go back to Hebrews 6 with me. Title of this message and the subject of it is Full Assurance of Hope by Two Immutable Things. Full Assurance of Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ by two things that cannot be changed. Okay? And these verses, as you've already read with me, are so full of comfort and peace that nobody should leave here without, at least for tonight, full assurance of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Full assurance of hope because of these two immutable things. And I don't want to just do good tonight. I want to do you good. That's what this is all about. For your good. For our good. In verse 11 is where he said this, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Full assurance of hope. Scripture talks a lot. Scripture speaks a lot about hope. A lot. Hope means something you expect to receive because of something that was said or promised to you. Somebody told you something and you believed them. Or you look forward to something. You expect to see it or receive it. That's what hope means. And the hope that we're speaking of, that Scripture speaks of, is the hope of eternal life, which Titus says, God, who cannot lie, hath promised before the world began. Hope of eternal life. And Paul said, we're saved by hope. In other words, if we didn't have this hope, what is there to live for? We're saved by this hope. This hope will save us from despair, save us from depression, save us from fear and worry and so forth. Christ, who is our hope, will save our souls. But if we have this full assurance of hope, it will give us peace and rest, and it'll be an anchor for your soul. When all around my soul gives way, He then will be all your hope and stay. Keep you from losing it. Hope, full assurance of hope. And he says, and I concur. This is my desire. He said, I want, God says, through a man, we desire that every one of you have this full assurance of hope. Everyone. Hope. Now, Peter wrote this. Peter said, be ready always to give every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Let me ask you some questions, all right? Why do you believe what you believe about God? about life after death, about Jesus Christ, about why do you believe what you believe? That's right. The Word of God. We believe God wrote a book. That this is the Word of God. That's where it starts. Yes, people ask you a reason for the hope. My hope is based on, is built on, it comes from, I believe this to be the Word of God Almighty. Well, how do you know this is the Word of God? How do you know it's not man's work? I just quoted that, didn't I? No scriptures of any private interpretation. The holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And but do you know that God reveals His Word to His people? He really does. The only way anyone will know it's God's Word is if God reveals it to them. You have to say that. Faith. We believe this is God's Word. And didn't our Lord say, if you believe, I'll show you. God has to give that faith that we believe Him. And then He shows us, doesn't He? He reveals. There's no doubt. Stephen, honestly, examine your heart. Is there any doubt in your heart and mind that this is the Word of God? Really? There's no doubt. He's revealed it to you too many times, hasn't He? Mysteries. It was Philip, I believe, who said, Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Remember that? Our Lord said that. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit whom the world can't receive. They don't know Him. But you know Him because I give Him to you. Yeah, that's just a trick. It's a revelation. You didn't know me until I introduced myself, did you? Nor I you. Even so knoweth no man the things of God except God revealed them. You just brought that up to me, Gabe, that John asked him and the Lord told him. Well, in 1 Corinthians it says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But the next verse said, but God hath revealed them unto us. He has. And the fact that you believe this is God's Word without reservation is proof. It's evidence of things not seen. It's evidence that God Almighty... Now, you understand what I'm saying? How do you know it's God's Word? Well, we receive it by faith. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. How do you know there's life after death? What would you say? How do you know there's life after death, this eternal life, that you go to be with God in heaven after your body is laid in the grave? How do you know that? How do you know? What would you say? What's your hope that there is life after death? Huh? What is it? Jesus Christ arose from the grave. That's it. He lives. He lives. You see? I believe I have forgiveness of sins because Christ died. I believe there's eternal life because Christ arose. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. If we in this life only have hope in Christ, if this is it, we're of all men most miserable. If Christ be not risen, but Christ is risen. And just like He appeared to His chosen disciples after He arose, He does it now. Nancy, He does it now. Whom having not seen, yet you do see Him. Haven't you? You've seen Him. Whom having not heard, His actual voice, but you have heard Him, haven't you? Whose presence nobody ever sees on it, but He is with us, isn't it? People call you crazy, call you a fool. what is true. And Christ said that. He said, the world can't receive the Spirit. The world doesn't know me. They didn't know me. They don't know you. They don't know the truth because I haven't revealed it to them. But if you do, if you believe, it's because I've revealed myself to you. Whom having not seen, you love. And rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hope is not seen. That's it. You say by hope. And hope is not seen. Man doesn't hope that's seen, he doesn't hope for. But if we hope for something, we with patience wait for it. We have a good, strong hope. Then we with patience, we wait. Confidence. Wait on the Lord. He said he'd come back. Like that little boy, remember? His father left him sitting on the... You remember that? We've told that 100 times here. He's told it 98. I've told it twice. Father came, left his boy and told him, I'll be back. And Cain was gone a long time. He tarried. But he came back. He came back. And the boy was still waiting. And he's waiting because, Dad, you said you'd come back, and I believe. And when he shall come, we sang. And he shall. With trumpet sound. Who's going to be found in Him? Those who have hope in Him now and those who patiently wait. Patiently wait. Patience of hope, he said that to the Thessalonians. Where am I in my notes here? I don't know. Anyway. Well, all right. Look down at verse 11. He said, we desire that everyone show the same diligence, that you be not slothful. Diligence, that you might have full assurance of hope. Diligence. The word diligent. Somebody that's diligent is somebody that's always doing something. It's faithful, it's continually doing it. Right? Diligent. He said, I would that you all would show the same diligence. He commended some who labored the work and labor of love toward His name and ministered to the saints and do minister, kept ministry. And he said, I would that everyone would show the same diligence. And all through Hebrew, he talks about hearing. Now here's diligence. And here's what we need to have full assurance. To be a diligent hearer of the Word. A diligent hearer of the Word. Diligent attendance. I remember reading a message by Jonathan Edwards on the diligent attendance to the Word of God. That was just wonderful. Faith, we got to have faith to live by. Cometh how? By hearing. Now, reading the Word of God is profitable. It's profitable. It's necessary. We should. But it said, hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. How often have you read something and not understood it fully and come here and someone get up and preach it and you understand? You hear it. You really hear it. How often have you heard something and heard something and heard something and didn't really hear it and understand it and then finally you hear it? How many times? Been done to me. I've done it to my pastor. I go to him with something. Look at this. And show him something he'd been preaching to me for years. Like I just discovered it. No, I just finally heard it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. God, please God by the foolishness of preaching. Hearing the Word of God. Thomas wasn't there when Christ was speaking to his disciple. So he was so full of doubt and troubles and fear until he heard his voice. Right? He said, I want to touch his scars. He never did. As soon as he saw him and heard him, that was all he did. It says, be not slothful. Be not slothful, lazy, do nothing. You know, salvation, only those that seek the Lord will find it. And only those that seek wisdom will get it. Only those who search and dig will find. If we don't, we won't. If we don't ask, we won't receive. If we don't support the Word, we won't be supported. If we don't show ourselves friendly, and on it goes, we won't have friends. Labor of love. And, he said, I would that all of you, everyone, would show the same diligence in hearing, diligence in attendance, diligence in seeking and searching and digging. Those whom you feel like have great peace and assurance, I guarantee you, they're most in the Word and most diligent in hearing it. It's just so, because this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. You won't get it otherwise. Not going to be a sign, no sign to be given. Mm-mm. Right here. This is how God speaks. And He does it in a special way where two or three are gathered in His name. He gives peace. Assurance. That's where peace comes from, assurance. And according to your faith is your assurance. According to how much you believe Christ, God is God, and Christ is Christ, and His Word will be your assurance. You hear me? According to our faith will be our assurance. And so He said, now look at it. Verse. Now, that's a gentle rebuke, isn't it? A gentle reproof or correction. But, God doesn't rebuke us in His Word. He said, don't be lazy. Be diligent. God doesn't rebuke and reprove us to show us we're wrong, but to teach us what's right. God doesn't say things to make us feel bad, but to make us do good. Chastening is not to make us miserable, but to put things right, isn't it? You understand that? Okay. And we're all convicted by that. Yeah, we're all lazy at times, aren't we? But He says in verse 12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who? Who's them? Who's He talking about? Well, we read it Sunday morning. You go over to Hebrews 11 and there are two dozen or more people just like us, persons just like us, no different than us, living in the same world as us, who through faith, God-given faith, and patience of hope, all the way to the end, endured difficult thing, trials. But this belief in their God, faith in Christ, was an anchor to their souls in the midst of just horrible trial. He says, we have these examples before us, a great cloud of witnesses to the grace of God. His grace is sufficient to the certainty of His promises, to the certainty of His Word. And God cannot lie that you live according to His promise. You hope in Him. He'll show you. Men like people like Abel. He starts with Abel. The very first person, and once again, I remind you, every one of these first few examples, anyway, they didn't have a Bible like we have. We've got the last chapter. There's no excuse for us not that foolish. We've got the last chapter. Abel stood firm, bringing the blood, in spite of his brother's persecution of him. His brother, Cain, rejected it and persecuted him for it and finally killed him for it. No matter. Abel stood firm, didn't it? It's the blood, Brother Cain. It's the blood. Who told you that? Well, God did. He told us both. It's Abel, Enoch. Be followers of Enoch, you know. He walked with God 300 years in a world right before the flood, a wicked world. It almost sounded like he was the only one, didn't it? He's the only one. No, he wasn't the only one, but there weren't many. Enoch walked with God, though in the middle of a wicked world that flat out rejected the truth. Doesn't matter. I believe God, Enoch said. Noah. Scripture says Noah, who moved with fear, prepared an ark. Noah said, if I have to build this thing single-handedly, I'm going to do it. Because God said so. This is our salvation. Might be in my house. Whatever it takes. If it takes me 120 years. By myself, if nobody else will help me. This is our salvation. What do we got to do? Build an ark. Well, not we got a gospel to support, a church to support. No. Huh? Because this is where the ark is. And then Moses. Remember Moses? Whose faith followed, it says here. Followers of them. Moses, it says, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, he was going to be at the top. This is what everyone aspires to, fame and fortune. Moses said, not me. I don't care a thing about being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No, sir. Moses said, I esteem the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt. Greater riches than all the treasure of Egypt. And he forsook Egypt. He forsook all his old friends. And he said, I'm going to be associated with those commoners, those people of God, those Jews that everybody hates. That's my people. Where they go, I'll go, like Ruth. And where they die, I'll die. Their God's my God. You can have Pharaoh, you can have Egypt, you can have all that. That's what Moses said. Cost, he counted the cost and he said, none of it's worth it. I'm leaving. I'm going with the people of God. Forsook Egypt. Was God true to his promise? To all these people? Oh yeah. They're all there right now. On and on it goes. Great cloud of witnesses. Rahab, Samson, on and on it goes. Great cloud. They're all there according to the promise of God. You follow me. You believe me. You with me? Come on. Come on. Full assurance of hope all the way to the end. All the way to the end. And then there's Abraham. And this is who he uses here as the example. All right. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. He's the father of the faithful. All right, look at it. Verses 13. When God made promise to Abraham, God made promise, singular, to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, God swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee. This is Genesis 22. God said to Abraham, blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, and the scripture says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. He believed. Didn't work. Not works, but believed. But works followed, didn't it? That's not what saved him. Faith. Believed God. God called him. He believed. So, after he had patiently endured, what did Abraham patiently endure? Oh my. My, my. He waited, after God promised him a son, he waited 25 years on that son. 15 years went by, remember, and he and his wife got impatient. And she said, we need to do something. And you know why that story was written. To show us man's works and God's salvation. And there's a lot to say about that. But then another 10 years went by before Isaac was born. And in a, so 25 years. And then during that time, he lost his son, his first son, Ishmael, whom he loved. He lost him. That's the hardest trial Nancy had ever been through. He had to kick him out. Remember that? And you know why he did that. Then he had nothing but family troubles. Lot. Remember? Lot. Lot got in trouble. His nephew, who he called his son. By the way, we're going to look at that Sunday. Genesis 19. Lingering Lot and his merciful Lord. But Lot got in trouble, got down in Sodom, and Abraham about lost him, had to go save him. And family troubles, he lost his wife. Sarah died. So everything that we could go through, he went through, right? After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Wait a minute. Did God promise him a son? That's not the promise. We're going to see that in a minute. That is much deeper than just having a son. It's the same promise he promised up. Because the promise wasn't really to Abraham. It's to Christ. We're going to see that in a minute. All right? But when God made promise to Abraham, Abraham believed God. You see, and so he had hope. He hoped. He believed, and he had hope. Who told him? Who made the promise? God did. He cannot lie. So Abraham believed God. And it says that God, when God made the promise to Abraham, he swore to him. And he tells us not to swear. So we shouldn't. But God did. God can do as he pleases. And he did. Well, how did he swear? And we're forced to do it in a court of law, aren't we? We go in to bear witness or whatever, put your hand on the Bible and say, do you swear? And verse 16 says, men barely swear by the greater. We're told to swear on the Bible, on the Word of God. Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help me God. Because God is our witness to this. And we say, I do. Men swear by the greater. Well, God swore. Who's he going to swear by? There is no greater than himself. Himself. Patrick, I can promise you something. I promise you, tomorrow, I'll meet you at noon at the Hub, okay? And I'll buy us lunch, okay? I promise you. You have my word on it. Will it come true? Well, you hope it will. And you hope, you believe me pretty much, don't you? Well, I might not show up. Things might happen that I can't control, right? And I might find out I don't have any money, right? Not God. You believe it's me because it's me, and I appreciate that. But David said, all men are liars. You can't promise something if you can't absolutely fulfill it, can you? So our hope is on the promise of God who cannot lie. And God, when he promised, swore by himself, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God. Christ came down. God spoke. So Christ said, if you believe not believe the word that I spoke unto you, I and the Father are one. The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father which is in me. Believe that. He swore by himself. I swear am I no greater. All right? So God swore. All right? Now what is this promise? This is what I want us to see. All right, this promise. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. All right, a few verses and then I'm going to quit. A few verses. All right, Genesis 12. A few portions of Scripture, that is. Genesis 12, 22, and then we'll look at Galatians. Look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, you have it? The Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, no doubt. Now, go to chapter 22. No doubt God has a national people called Israel. All right? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel. God blessed Abraham and made a huge nation out of his loin. Right? He sure did. Miraculous how he's from that son of a barren woman, and on it goes. And those that bless and pray for Israel, God blesses. That's without a doubt. All right? But it goes much deeper than that. He's talking about Christ there. That promise is to cry. I'll show you. Look at Genesis 22. Now this is, Brother Gabe preached from this not long ago. And down in verse 8, Abraham said, you know, his son, as they were walking up that mountain, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son according to God's will. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Did Abraham understand what he was talking about? Maybe. After this is over, he did. But God spoke through him, didn't it? If he didn't understand, he did after it's over. God will provide himself a lamb. He spoke things too wonderful for him. Read on. Look at verse 13. They got there, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, a male sheep, caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and laid hold of the ram. This is his son's life. This is his life. His life wrapped up in his son's life. This is his life, this ram, this substitute. And he offered him up, that ram, for a burnt offering in the stead of, as a substitute for his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. He did provide, didn't he? Himself, a lamb. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. Moses, who wrote this, wrote of me, Christ said. Talking about Christ here. It's not all about Abraham's faith. It's all about Christ. Who gave him that? Look down at verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham the second time and said, by myself have I sworn. Who's talking here? Jesus Christ was there. In picture, in type, in person. And said, I swear, Abraham, because you've done this thing, I have not withheld thy son, thine only son, in blessing, I will bless thee. Multiply, I will multiply thy seed. Verse 18, thy seed, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Who's he talking to? He's talking about Jesus Christ. God's talking to Jesus Christ. Because you've done that. Because thou hast obeyed my voice and come down here and been a substitute for my people. I'm going to bless you and bless those that bless you. All the people of the earth will be blessed because of you. I'll show you that. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. All right? This whole book of Galatians is written to show us that. We're talking about the promise. The promise. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. You have it? All right, Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 16. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He didn't say, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise is Christ. Go back to Hebrews 6 now. That's the promise. God swore this promise. This promise was to Christ, and he made the same promise to all who trust Christ, believe Christ. I just quoted to Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham believed who? He believed Christ, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And this was written not for his sake only, but for our sake, who believe the same person. People have only been saved one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. From Abel to Zechariah. A to Z. All right? So he says in our text, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise, the heirs of salvation, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, that it won't change what he's promised. Confirmed it by an oath. To who? To Christ. To Christ. That by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, two immutable things, his oath and his covenant. God said to Christ, you go down, and you become the substitute for my people. You die in their place. You be made sin for them. You live righteously for them. I'll charge it to them. I'll charge their sins to you. And all that come unto me by you, I will receive. And I will by no means cast them out. You have my word on it. Did he? He did. And he went back to glory and sat down. And it's certain. Covenant. Certain. Because he's the surety. And the Hebrews talks about he ever lives to be the surety of that covenant. That everyone that comes to God by him is saved. You have his word on it. God cannot lie. So he says that's a strong consolation. Consolation. We think of a consolation prize, don't we? If somebody didn't win the prize, and they get the consolation. Huh? Oh, no. This is the prize. Consolation is like Abraham got. Did Abraham just get a consolation? Lot got Sodom. Abraham said, what are you going to give me? You get a strong consolation. He said, Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. It consoled him, you see, when he lost everything, when he had to live in the mountains, when he had to live in tents, his consolation was, I'm going to live in a mansion someday. And all this is going to be destroyed, but what God gave me won't be destroyed. Can't lose it. I'm going to lose all this, but can't lose what he promised me. That's consolation. And men and things take away my peace, but he can't take away this peace. I have peace within my heart, peace by believing. Strong consolation. Who have fled, look at this, verse 18. Oh, these verses. They fled, whoever flees for refuge, the city of refuge, Christ our refuge. Kelly, he's all and in all, he's all these things. Christ our refuge. Refuge, who flees for refuge? The manslayer, the guilty party, whoever's guilty. And God had cities of refuge, seven cities, and they're all crying. And whoever flees, yeah, but he's notorious. Whoever flees, whoever comes, will get refuge. Refuge, safe, can't touch them. It didn't matter how guilty a person was, they got that city of refuge, Mike. You can't touch them. The law can't touch them. God said it so. Flee for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us. hope. What's that? Well, verse 19, it's an anchor of the soul. An anchor for the soul. Be tossed to and fro and by the storms of life and troubles. And it's an anchor for the soul. It's sure, this hope. Sure. It's not a wish. Oh, I wish, cross my fingers, you know. I hope it's true. I'm not sure. No. It's a sure. Why? It's a promise. Who made the promise? God cannot lie. Steadfast. Which, and as we said, it's not a thing. It's a person. Somebody is within the veil. Right on the other side of that, this veil of flesh, we can't see it. You know, we're one breath away from eternity. You think about that, how thin this veil is between us and eternity. Of one breath. Stop your mouth. If somebody stops you from breathing for 2 minutes, go. It's a thin veil. And can't see. It's just a thin veil. Well, just if we could just see on the other side of that thin veil, there he is, right where he said he was. And that veil, too, is in the Holy of Holies, where our forerunner, verse 20, our forerunner, Christ, our great high priest, is. That's where he is, who's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we're going to talk about this Melchizedek. You see why he said you can't be dull of hearing? If we're dull of hearing, we won't have full assurance of hope. If we're dull of hearing, we won't have the consolation. We'll have the strong consolation. And we toss to, won't be anchored. So we can't be. And if he's going to talk about, he starts out this chapter by talking about a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he says it over and over and over and over. And now we're going to look at it. Who is this Melchizedek? What's this mean to me? This high priest, what does it mean about? God wrote a book and he wrote a lot about it. Why? Because this is an anchor for the soul, a person. And it'll give us full assurance of hope all the way to the end. Patience. We'll be able to be patient like Abraham, Enoch, patient. We only have 70 or 80 years, not 365. Not 930 like Adam. 70. To wait. For the promise to be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. 70 short years. And Stan, you've only got 10 more, don't you? Well, something like it. Promise. God promised. He cannot lie. Two immutable things. God said, I've said it. I've spoken it. I've written it. Men have tried to erase it. They can't do it. It's a sure. You can go and read about it and have assurance. And God spoke out loud when Christ came down here and said, this is my son. Out loud. God swore, this is my son. And every time it thunders, God still speaks to us, to his people. Though the world can't hear it, though the world thinks it's just thunder, no, it's the voice of God saying, I've glorified him, I'll glorify him again. And I'll glorify you if you come to me by him. I swear it, God said. I swear by no greater. And it won't change, because God doesn't change. Now, let's just all die. All right, stand with me. Our Lord, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Again, we thank you for it. It is our confidence, because it is thy word, the promise. And that promise, all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. And we thank you. They're sure and certain, yea and amen in Christ. The promise you made to him because he was obedient to you, and our surety is certain, unchangeable, unmovable, because he is seated within the veil. Oh Lord, make us. If we don't understand that fully right now, it causes us to think more on these things and meditate on these things, and give that we all might have full assurance of hope, patiently endure and wait for the promise to be fulfilled. And it will. It has and it will. We ask these things in Christ's blessed name. Amen. You're dismissed.